Okay. Well, that was fun. And boy, it's always so much fun to see the kids light up anytime there's presence of any sort. But that line in that scene where Father Christmas says, "These are tools, not toys." And I remember reading that in the book years ago for the first time, and it was so magical, this moment when you realize that these kids are being prepared to do something, to go on this mission that they never dreamed would ever be possible, especially for some kids. They think they're just kids. They don't realize that they've been destined to be kings and queens of this magical land. But there's a battle ahead and there's much to be done. But they're blessed with these gifts that they've come to find out that aren't simply presents or toys for them to enjoy themselves, but they have a greater purpose. And so I want to talk about that today. I was thinking about my favorite toy. And every Christmas, my kids ask me, what do I want? And I've never been able to come up with a better answer, because after a year goes by, soccer ball gets pretty worn out. And that's what I would always ask for as a kid, as long as I can remember. It's always fun to have a brand new soccer ball. And so last year, I really wanted the Chelsea one. But since then, honestly, my favorite team isn't Chelsea anymore. Even though they were like first place in the English Premier League last year, I just love Tottenham Hotspur. I just love the word, because I think I've shared with you guys that I've recently become a English soccer fan ever since. It's so many of the games are now televised here, and you can access them so much. But I was like, what's this Tottenham team? Tottenham, that's kind of weird. But then you would hear the broadcaster describe it as Tottenham. It's like, ooh, I like the way that sounds. That's going to be my favorite team. Because I really didn't have anything to base my favorite team on, right? I don't know anything about these teams. I've got to go by colors and by the sound of their name. So Tottenham, that's my favorite team. So I'm hoping this year I get a Tottenham soccer ball. I don't know. So I'm going to wait on that. But I was thinking about this whole topic about how what we have in life, we're given so many things, from our material assets and resources to our intangibles, our personalities, our spiritual gifts that we've been talking a lot about in church. And so often, and this is the temptation, especially to go back to your childhood as a kid, and maybe it's still how we all tend to feel when something's ours, when we receive something, it's like, okay, this is mine. I get to enjoy this. And the way I imagine the purpose of this gift that is now mine, that belongs to me, is it's mine. And I can do with it whatever I want. And I get to make the call on how it's going to be used, when it's going to be used, who gets to touch it, who gets to play with it, when and where. And I'm the boss, because that's my thing. That's my toy. And I'm in charge of that. But God has other plans, and just like that little scene is such a great symbol and metaphor for how what we think is ours has a greater purpose for than just us to own and use for our own pleasure or benefit, but a greater purpose to accomplish a greater mission, to benefit others in a way that otherwise they might not get to experience the way that we would. Okay, so with soccer on my mind, I was trying to think of, because we're all in different places on this, what scripture has to say about, the first, the steps of growth to use what we have in a way that honors God and fulfills His intention for what we have. Okay, so this is how I want to do it. I want you to learn, just so I have some friends to talk about this with. I don't have hardly any English Premier soccer friends. So this way, you'll get a little feel as we talk about, biblical giving. We'll talk a little bit about how the English pro soccer system works. And there's four top levels to English pro soccer. It starts with League 2, which is kind of like our minor league baseball farm system that we have. But these guys are big time pros. And they still, they make a lot of money. They don't make the gazillions like the top. But let's start off here in League Two, because this is kind of the first step of understanding how God wants us to think. But I picked the Bristol Rovers and the Wycombe Wanderers because those were two teams when I was a kid. My first competitive soccer team, the coach was English. And we were the Walnut Creek Rovers. And I always thought that was a weird name, Rovers. But then I realized later in life that was his favorite team. Now they're not doing that great because they're still in League Two, but the Bristol Rovers was his favorite team. I always wanted to be, but I wasn't old enough to be on the Walnut Creek Wanderers. But the Wycombe Wanderers, they had an English coach too. I didn't get any of this when I was a kid, but years later I realized that these guys were naming their youth soccer teams after their heroes back home from their homeland. Anyway, so let's start off in League Two. And the first thing you learn, you know, that's kind of a mind changer in this understanding about what our toys, so to speak, are all about, is that everything belongs to God. That's the first step we've got to realize. And that actually does go against most of what we're taught. This is yours. You are in charge of this. You own this. But here's what the Bible has to say about who owns what. I love this little stanza in Psalm 89. The heavens are yours, the earth also is yours, the world and all it contains. You have founded them. But it's a whole nother mindset. It switches up everything. Even though I worked hard for that, I earned that, it was given to me legally as far as this world looks around, that money, that home, that vehicle, all those toys in the garage and elsewhere, everything in that bank account, that's mine. When you step back and look at what the truth really is about everything in this world that it contains, it all belongs to God. Maybe I've been put in a position of stewardship, and I've been given the responsibility on how these assets could be used. The truth is, none of it actually belongs to me. It's all for a bigger purpose. It's not just a toy, so to speak, for my own benefit. These are tools. And if I look at my assets, from that bank account to that home to those vehicles to those, you know, whatever those items are that are in our garage and our homes and our vacation places and things like that. Not to mention our personalities and our skill sets and all those things. If I start to look at all those things belonging to God, I'm starting to see myself and the world around me in a much different way. Okay, so that's the first step. That's just League Two. Now we advance to League One. Okay? So now you get into Blackpool. So, okay, they're a League One team. And it's different in the English system than we're used to, like in the NFL. You do bad, like the Niners and the Browns are doing this year, you're rewarded with at least some high draft picks come draft day. Okay, the worst placed teams get the first picks on the younger guys. It doesn't work that way anywhere else in the world, especially European soccer, especially English soccer. The bottom three teams get dropped down to a lower division. So if you're in the Premier League, you get dropped down. If you're in League One and you finish in the bottom third of the 20 teams, in the 17, 18, 19, and 20, you get dropped down into League Two. Then the top three teams from League Two, if you earn that, you get brought up into League One. And so you're always motivated and fighting for those spots so you can advance up into the upper leagues. My hero, Sir Stan Matthews, he played professional soccer until he was 50. The only pro soccer player, English player, to ever be knighted while playing by the Queen. He was Sir Stan Matthews. I went to his soccer camp when I was a kid. He was in his 60s. And he was touring in a little camp at Heather Farms Park when I was a kid. Anyway, he was so much fun, just this big, fun personality. So I always cheer on his old team, Blackburn. But they're in League One these days. So the next step in our spiritual growth in giving of ourselves is simply sharing what we have not only helps, but there's a reward that comes with it. Okay, if I can realize, okay, my stuff isn't mine. That's the first thing. The next step is to realize, okay, this can benefit others. And that will bring some joy and goodness and benefit into their lives, but there's also something for me. Okay, there's a nice little feeling of I did a good job. Hey, something's going to come back to me here. The more generous I am, God recognizes that, and I'm going to be blessed in some ways. And Jesus is pretty straight up about this. He says, give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be poured into your lap. Good things are to come. It might not be next week. It might not be any time in the short term, but they're going to come. Somehow, something good is going to come back to you. You can feel like, okay, this is worth it. For the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Most likely, it'll probably be in this lifetime. Something you're going to notice. If you're tracking and taking notice, it's something good is going to come to you. It's for sure going to come in the next lifetime. And so there's a motivation, there's an incentive. The more I share, the more it's going to come back to me. And so that's kind of that next step. It's like, okay, at least I'm a little motivated. I see that if I'm willing to see things from God's lens, that the reason I have these things isn't just for me, it's to take care of me, but work through me so that I can take care of others. Okay, so I take that next step, and as I do that, I can feel, okay, something good is going to come out of that. But you know what? That's just League One. We got two more leagues to go. You jump up from League One, and there's the Championship League. Okay, I love the fact that there's a team from the Robin Hood stories. There's an actual pro soccer team called Nottingham Forest. I mean, how cool is that? So I'm always cheering them on just because, again, I'm looking for reasons to have favorite teams. I don't know anything. I have no association with the culture there. My buddy Mick Wakefield, who you guys, we've had Mick as a guest worship leader here in the past. He's from England. His favorite team is Leeds. I'm kind of cheering on Leeds for Mick's sake. But I don't really have a connection otherwise. But here's the next step. Kind of the Championship League level of really walking in Jesus' shoes. Here's what he says is your next challenge. Give without expectation of any reward or benefit. But didn't you just say like a little while ago that if I give, some good things are going to happen? Yeah, but you know what? Now I think you're ready, and maybe that's where you need to start. You know, maybe that's a challenge enough. But Jesus, he's always doing this with us. He's always kind of pressing us, just like a great coach will get the most out of his players. What are we ready for? Maybe all we're ready for right now is like, wait a second. I've never been told that. I've been working really hard, and this stuff's mine. How is it not mine? How is it God's? Well, maybe that's the challenge right there, just to see a different worldview that way. And then maybe giving and seeing how that goes. But, you know, with a little hope that, okay, that's gonna bring some things back. That's okay. Jesus talks about rewards, but then he talks about that next level of selfless spiritual growth is giving without any expectation. God, I don't need anything back. Keep that for somebody else. I don't need it here. I don't even need it there. I just want to be more like you. Because listen to what he says in this little
passage. And the context here in Luke chapter 14 is Jesus is sitting at this pretty nice banquet. You know, it's a pretty nice party that someone in town has thrown. And he's making a little object lesson by whispering to his disciples about how he would like to see his players, so to speak, his disciples, respond in a setting like this. When you give a dinner or a banquet, guys, don't invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or your rich neighbors, because this is what could happen. They could also invite you in return. Oh, no, I hate it when this happens when I'm doing a talk. What's that word?
I can't think of it right now.
They could reciprocate. Yes, thank you. Would have come to me if I just stalled for a bit somehow. But
I want to know how you get the championship league.
And so, you got to get in the top three of League One.
Same thing.
Okay. And so, by doing this, by throwing some parties for people that are incapable of reciprocating, there's that word. But when you give a feast, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed because they cannot repay you. There's no way anything's coming back there. You've got no expectation. That's the kind of players Jesus is looking for in the championship league. There's more to it. Let's try to feel that, though, a little bit. Though. It's like, how could there be more than that? It's like, I don't know. Are you guys feeling? I'm feeling barely League One, some league, you know, mostly League Two, some, you know, okay, that makes sense. But Jesus keeps pressing because he loves you so much, he's never going to be satisfied until you can feel and experience what he sees in you and for you. And he knows, just like a great coach knows what he can get out of a player that has all that unrealized potential. And especially this time of year, we're planning all sorts of parties. And maybe, do not admit this, maybe it's your turn to host for the holidays, and you know you're going to one-up what they did, what your relative or whoever's turn it was last year. You know, it's like, You're going to make it better than they did. Or you know that what you gave last year, you know, at least this year, you know, it's their turn and they're going to do a good job and you get to relax because you've got that coming, you did it last year. I mean, we feel those things. You know, it's fun to, you know, keep things fair and there's a balance. Here, Jesus is saying, make up an invitation list that you can put on an event, a party you can give to, that there's no way that you're going to get back. If you can have that mindset without any expectation of a reward, ooh, now you're playing the champion. You just your contract value, you just went up some big time money. Okay, but are you ready? Are you ready for poetry in motion? If you can catch Saturday, all these games are on NBC. This is the cream. This is the Premier League. These guys, how do they do it? How do they have such skill at such speed? It's so beautiful to watch. I mean, soccer, the nickname is the beautiful game. It is so amazing what these guys can do at this level. They can make something so hard look so easy. So right now, Manchester City is leading the pack. So these are the top four teams. The top four, okay, so the bottom three, I always said, they get relegated down and other teams get promoted up. That's what it's called, promotion and relegation and everywhere else in the world. But the top four teams of the Premier League get to play in the European Champions Cup. So all the top four from Italy, Spain, France, all those, Germany, all those countries compete. And so you want to be in the top four of the Premier League. There's more money, there's more incentives, all those things. So right now Man City's leading, followed by Manchester United, Chelsea's in there, and then Liverpool. They've been hanging in there with that new coach they got last year. Anyway, fun stuff. I mean, come on. Anybody getting into this so we can, like, be Premier League friends later or something? Okay, but at least you've got a little vocabulary. I'm so lonely. All right. So, okay, but how does this affect our spirituality? Sorry, I'm getting a little distracted because it's so much fun. Okay, the Premier League of giving. I mean, you didn't think there could be more after that little story told the disciples at that banquet. But this is how I would describe it. And this, I mean, how do you get... That's why there's only a few relatives that play at this level in the world. Give sacrificially, even when it's painful, inconvenient, unappreciated, undeserved. Boy, the crippled, the lame, the blind, the poor, they deserve a little something, you know. This is undeserved. And entirely unfair to you. Because no one is expecting you to do this, and you're going to be treated poorly, if at all, thought of or remembered or thanked when you give at this level. But nothing good is going to come out of it. You're going to be put out. You're going to be at a loss. Your ledger, I'm about that word in time, okay, is going to be in the red on this one. You might have to spend some time making up, figuring out, okay, this set me back. This, I was taken advantage of. If you can walk away and realize, you know what? I was kind of taken advantage of there. That really wasn't fair. I don't know how I got myself into that. You're kicking it around at a high level. You went into something without any expectation of reward, sure. But maybe you even sensed, man, I'm going to do it anyway because I've seen Jesus do this. I've seen what it means to give and only feel pain. Who does that? Let's listen to Jesus talk a little bit more. And I think this so reflects the heart of Christmas here. And we'll talk about that here in a second. But I tell you, Jesus says, do not resist an evil person. Are you kidding me? Who talks like this? In the annals of sacred history and other faiths and other scriptures, have you ever seen anybody that talks like this? Who is this God? But I tell you, do not resist an evil person. And if anyone wants to sue you and take your shirt, hand over your coat as well. Don't even put up a fight. Don't even exercise your rights. Just give them more. If anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go with them 2 miles. So you're being pressed here. You're not being asked nicely. You're not even being invited. But you are giving of yourself. You are seeing a higher purpose to what you have and what you're in charge of could ever accomplish. Because what Jesus is talking about is now changing souls. Because no one in this world is taught to respond to unfair circumstances like this with grace. And when you think about Christmas, when you think about God giving His own precious Son into a world that is as dangerous and competitive and aggressive and cruel and cold and unfair in how He was treated and the kind of return that came. It was this completely selfless give that He knew was only going to result in pain and rejection, but he still gave that precious gift. League One's not looking so bad right now, huh? But God has more for us, more that He sees, that He can bring out and bring our hearts, our souls, into more of a shape as His own, as His own Son. Who would gladly, willingly, who did gladly and willingly, even joyfully, walk a road of pain and rejection. Because that's the level that he plays at, that he calls us up to. Share with him. What an incredible mission. What an incredible level of living that God has invited us into. Now, I'm not saying you go out there and start thinking, you know, I'm going to kick it around at the Premier. I mean, we all know where we're at here. And that's okay. We need to take on that next step. Blackpool isn't worried about the European Cup right now. They just want to get up into, the top positions in League One and then maybe get into championships for a while. Okay? And that's great. That's still a thrill for that little town of Blackpool to get to compete at that level. That's a thrill. To just be able to give, maybe that's a new experience. It's like, man, I've been holding so tight onto all these things. I'm going to try this for a while. And then play in that level for a while. And then see how God will continue to build on that. But just know this is what He has for us ultimately. Jesus said, all the stuff we see Him doing, we're called into doing, and we could do just like that if we would let Him work on us more and more. So let me just end with this thought from a disciple who saw this day in and day out and saw his leader, his coach, his best friend, his Lord go to that painful cross with a look of peace and joy because that's who He was. And He was always willing to give of Himself. Peter wrote, each of us should use whatever gift we've received to serve others. I love this line, as faithful stewards of God's grace. We've seen this grace. We've received it. We're stewards of it. And it can play out in a million different forms. From finances to meals to helping your neighbor with just basic little tasks and chores to watching another family's kids, providing childcare. Through ministry here at the church, through your various spiritual gifts. I mean, there's just no limit to these various forms of how we can serve. And I really believe the reason God created such an amazing diversity and variety of people that I'm looking at here is it takes that much variety to take care of all the needs that are out there. But that's why you are who you are. That's why you have what you have. It's not to hold on and enjoy for yourself. You're part of something bigger. And if you aren't experiencing that yet, you're missing out. And it's time to get in the game. Be part of the action. So let me say a little prayer here as Keith, Colleen, and Michael come back up. Heavenly Father, Thank you. For the English Premier League and all the other amazing gifts that you pour into our lives. Help us to see a bigger picture. Help us to see these aren't just toys. These are tools that you put in our hands to be part of a greater purpose that you want to accomplish, that we have the privilege of joining you in. We get to play at a very high level on a very special team with an amazing coach, player coach, and captain that leads the way. And so, Lord, we want to play. We want in. And so help us to not just be spectators and sit on the sidelines. Put us in the game and push us. And let us be more and more like you. And thank you that Christmas shows us who you are and who you call us to be. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So if you want to pray and need prayer, we'd love to pray with you in the back of the room and come to the communion table as you feel led. Why don't we stand together and sing this song that I think kind of sums it up, what we've been talking about.